Hey everybody, how you doing tonight? I'm Lounges, and it's time for Midwest Beats, a program all about music and the people who make it. You're listening to Lakeshore Public Radio at 89.1 FM on the dial and streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. Tonight's a special night. We've got a very gifted young lady joining us. She's a blues guitarist, vocalist, songwriter, and she has taken the world by storm. And she's under 22. Yeah, she's got four great albums out, the latest being Heart of Fire. We're going to feature songs from it coming up in just a bit. She'll be performing at Hard Rock Cafe at the Hard Rock Casino on October 29th, and we'll be talking to her. So who is this? It's Allie Venable. Allie Venable, one of the great young blues artists taking charge large. Coming up after this. Hey everybody, Tom Lounges here with a great show in store for you for the next hour. This is Midwest Beats, a program all about music and the people who make it. We've got a young lady that's going to be joining us by phone because she is on tour. In fact, she's on her way here to the Hard Rock Cafe stage at the Hard Rock Casino, Northern Indiana. She'll be here on October 29th. Her name is Allie Venable, and she's got a brand new album out called Heart of Fire on Rough Records. It's doing gangbusters. It's really put her on the radar in a big way. And that's saying a lot for a young lady who's already traveled the world and released three albums prior to this. She's worked with some of the big names. Some of the big names have played on her albums. We're going to hear some of that new album tonight, including the title track right now, as we get Allie Venable on the phone. Heart of Fire. This is the title track of the new album that's bringing her to Gary.
You put the light back.
New music, Heart of Fire. And that's Allie Venable. She's coming to the Hard Rock Cafe stage at the Hard Rock Casino, Northern Indiana, at 29th and Burr Street, and it's happening on October 29th. That's this weekend, boys and girls. It's a Halloween weekend at the Hard Rock with some incredible blues. Now, you're going to be hearing maybe some new songs that you've not heard before. Maybe you're being introduced to Allie tonight for the first time. And I know you're probably scratching your head right now and saying, wow, that gal can play. I'll tell you what, she's been performing. She was age 14. She's got 4 albums under her belt. She's toured the world, and she's rubbed elbows and played with several mainstream name artists. In fact, some of them play on her albums, including this album. We'll get to a song in which she trades licks and performs with Kenny Wayne Shepherd. She's also got a former guest of this show, Devin Allman from Allman Betts, son of Greg. He's on this album as well, but what we're going to focus on is the songwriting and the career of this incredible young lady. And I believe she's on the phone with us right now. Allie, are you there?
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for being with us. I understand you are literally on the road calling as you guys are traveling. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. We're going to be playing with Buddy Guy tomorrow night in Melbourne, Florida.
Excellent. Buddy's incredible. I got to tell you, we're from the Chicago area here, and just saw him. He was actually, so you know, was the opening artist at the Hard Rock Casino, Northern Indiana, on the VIP party. Buddy and his son Greg were the opening act on the stage you're going to be performing on.
Yes, yeah, they told me that he opened the Hard Rock, which is really cool.
Yeah, that was a great show. I was there. Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick got up and jammed with him. It was a who's who of Chicago blues royalty in the audience. And I'll tell you, when the word came out that you were going to be playing here, last weekend I actually started talking to some folks about this, and I was surprised at how many people were really waiting with bated breath to see you guys. Now, you are a power trio in the tradition of Stevie Ray and Double Trouble, in the tradition of Robin Trower, Frank Marino, all these great blues guitar players, blues rock guitar players, I should say. Why does that format, why does the trio format work for you?
I like trio. It's really fun. It's a raw sound. Sometimes I'll have a keys player play with us. His name's Fernando. He lives in the Dallas area, and sometimes we do have 4 people, but for this tour we're doing, it's 3 people. And like Stevie Ray Vaughan and ZZ Top, and it's just really fun with a trio. It's a cool sound for sure.
Now, have you always been a trio since you started out?
Yes. I've always had a trio ever since I started. I mean, when I first started, I actually had another guitar player, but as I got older and started, honing in on my guitar playing, it turned into a trio.
Okay. Now, you've been with the same guys for a while. I think you and Elijah actually started the band. Is that correct?
Yes, Elijah's been with me since I was a freshman in high school. We met in orchestra together, and he actually played the stand-up bass, and I played the cello, and he actually started playing bass for me and then transitioned to playing drums. He's been in the band for a long time.
So he's from Kilgore as well?
Yes, we're both from Kilgore. And then we have a new addition to the band. His name's Braden Stubbs. And he plays the bass, and he's been with me and Elijah for about 2 years now.
Okay. Because I know on the last album, Bobby Wallace was playing bass, so he is no longer with you guys?
No, he's not. He's not with us. We still see him every now and then. He's an amazing player. Braden Stubbs with us now.
Now, your last album, Texas Honey, which is the album that I turned on to you with, that one got a lot of notoriety and kind of put you on the radar a bit. But this album is the one that's really pushing you up the charts. You're on the blues charts. You're peaking in the top 5. I think you went to number 1 when it first came out. Is that correct?
No, we didn't make it to number 1, unfortunately, but it did stay going back from number 2 and number 3 for about 4 or 5 weeks consecutively.
Okay, so this album, what makes this album different? Let's take you in all your wonderful years. You're all of what, the ripe old age of 22 now. Four albums under your belt. Let's go all the way back to 2016 with No Glass Shoes and Puppet Show of 2018, and evaluate your growth as an artist, because you have come leaps and bounds.
Thank you. Yeah, I think I definitely have evolved as a guitar player and a songwriter, and I think my band definitely has evolved too, just playing together for so long. And I think what sets this album apart, my Heart of Fire album, from the rest of my albums, is when I put out Texas Honey, I did a tour in Europe called the Blues Caravan, and I got me and my drummer Elijah actually went on that tour, and we went all over Europe, and I was the guitar player for not only my songs that I wrote, but for two other artists, Ina Forsman and Katarina Payok, and they're both on Roof Records. And we toured for like three separate legs in Europe, and the tour was very long. And then Elijah and I would come back and play like our own shows here in the States. And I think that whole year of playing guitar on that tour made me a better guitar player, because not only did I played my own songs, but I learned other people's songs that they wrote, and they were definitely different types of tunes than I would normally gear toward, which made me a better guitar player doing that. And also just I had more life experience of going to a different country, experiencing new things, just growing up, basically, and so I had more to write about, and I also got to work with Jim Gaines, which he produced Stevie Ray Vaughan's Instep record, Journey, Carlos Santana. He worked on Steve Miller's Fly Like an Eagle, so being able to get to work with him was also a step up for that album as well. So I think some of those things were played a part in why this album is a step up from the rest of the albums that I've done before.
The Blues Caravan 2019 tour that you were talking about with Katrina and Enya was pretty unique. How did that come about? Was that put together because you were all on Rough Records?
Yes. And actually, I had played a show with Mike Zito, and he also had produced the Texas Honey album, and he's the one that introduced me to, you know, Riff Records, and Riff, he told me that Riff was looking for a guitar player for that tour, and so I fit the job description for the tour.
Now, the thing about, and what I put in the write-up that I did to talk about you coming to Gary, is I said, this is one of those situations where no one's going to be left saying she's pretty good for a girl. You are just awesome for any gender. Have you had that be an issue at all coming up the ranks? I mean, you're a pretty young woman. You are in a man's world as far as the blues for the most part, with the exception of, you know, Bonnie Raitt and Susan Tedeschi and of late Samantha Fish. There really hasn't been a lot of women on the guitar side of the blues. And you're kind of helping to pioneer that and spearhead the new generation.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's hard to first be like taken seriously as a guitar player for some reason. being like young girl, and you know, I do get some of that sometimes, but I love what I do, and I work very hard at what I do, and I guess a lot of people don't see like the behind the scenes on what goes on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And all the stuff nobody else wants to do that I do.
Okay.
So, but I do get that sometimes, but, I have a lot, a lot of musicians are very supportive. I have so many friends that I've met along the way, you know, like you mentioned, Kenny Wren Shepherd and Devin. And, I just got to play with Buddy a couple nights, a few nights that I've been opening with him. So there is a lot of camaraderie within the blues genre and within the musicians that I have met, and so I'm very grateful for that as well.
Okay. Let's play another song for my listeners. What's something you would like people to hear that maybe hasn't been getting a lot of play, or something that you feel is an exceptional track?
Oh, you know, Do It in Heels.
Okay.
Cool.
All right, let's do that. That's an interesting title, coming off the topic that we just were talking about being an attractive woman playing the guitar, and here you are with a song called Do It in Heels. Tell me a little bit about that song. It's one of your originals. Most of them are on this album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a girl power song. Is what it is.
Okay.
I like to wear heels on stage and look nice, and it's kind of like what you were saying, you know, just be myself, and a girl power song for sure.
All right, let's do it. This is new music off Heart of Fire, and this is Do It in Heels. Let's do it. Heels with Allie. Good stuff there. This is off her brand new album, Allie Venable, and it's Heart of Fire. And tasty licks in there. Now, Allie, as I understand, you started out when you were like 13, 14, starting to do demos and released an EP. And prior to that, you sang in church and you're from Texas. Is all of that correct?
Yes.
All right.
I started like playing shows probably when I was like 13 or 14. I started playing the guitar when I was about 12.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Chords, like, you know, basic chords and trying to learn songs, stuff like that.
And you said when you were in school, you played the cello. Is that correct?
Yes, I did. I played the cello in middle school and in high school.
Okay, that's an
interesting... I don't know how to play it anymore, though.
I was going to say, are you ever going to crack it out on stage and try and add a little strings to that?
I'll have to do a lot of brushing up on that if I do.
So why guitar? What drove you to guitar? I understand that Stevie Ray was a big influence on you. Was it hearing him play, or were you already into the guitar when you discovered Stevie?
I didn't really know much about the guitar when I discovered Stevie. What drew me to Stevie was, like, his voice is very, just, like, very mysterious, but still strong. And then I learned later that he's known for his guitar playing. So mm-hmm. I was like, I want to see if I can learn some of his songs and, you know, just see if I can do that. And
okay. That's
what got me into playing blues. And then I just went down the rabbit hole of, you know, blues music and his influences. And it just introduced me to a whole new world. And that's kind of what my goal is with my music, is to expose people that really don't know a lot about blues music or guitar-oriented type of music, like Stevie did for me.
I find that really admirable, and the reason I say that is I remember interviewing B.B. King many years ago for Scholastic Magazine, and I asked him, I'm like, does it bother you that people are taking basically the blues licks and like the Stones and, you know, groups like that, the Animals back in the British Invasion days, John Mayall, and kind of recycling them? And he said, no, he goes, the blues is a living music. It's a legacy music that that is passed on like a torch in a relay race. And I thought that was pretty interesting perspective of that. And of course, the Stones and the Animals and all those groups reintroduced America to its own music. We had lost touch with the blues, and the Brits sold it back to us, so to speak. And it's like that now, I think, with the female guitarists, especially coming up the ranks, and the young guitarists, the young bloods out there, like Selwyn Birchwood or Kingfish, and yourself and Samantha Fish coming up and saying, "Hey, you know what? It goes beyond Johnny Winter. It goes beyond Stevie Ray. We're still here doing the same kind of music." And I think you are, mm-hmm. in fact, passing that torch in so many, or the torch has been passed to you, and you're turning a lot of younger folks onto a very old music.
I think I try to pay homage, or, you know, shine a light on all of the musicians that I love, and try to incorporate that into my show and into my music, because those are the ones that, you know, cultivated the music and, you know, that we all take inspiration from. So I feel like as an artist, it's kind of my responsibility to do that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, draw people in and then introduce them to, you know, all of the many artists before me, you know, that I look to. I try to put a Bessie Smith song on every album that I put out. And because I think it's just great music, and it's like, she's like, I tell people she's the OG of blues music, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I try to do that, in my shows and in my albums that I put out, is just kind of light on, you know, people like her.
And it's interesting because on this album, and having mentioned Bessie, we're gonna play Hateful Blues. But what I liked about this is that you opened up with a recording of her, an old recording, and mm-hmm. then you kind of step it up and say, okay, this is it now. You know, Bessie has passed the torch to a young firebrand guitar player here. What is it about Bessie? Why Bessie of all the artists out there? Why did she connect with you?
Well, she's a very she's totally herself, for one, and just, she's, her music is so raw, and it's just very, I feel like she's very vulnerable, and she's, like, just telling her story, whether she's, like, really pissed off or sad, or all the emotions are there, and so I think that's why I like it so much. And a lot of her songs don't even have guitar in them.
Right.
A lot of it is just like a violin or piano, or it's very stripped down, but it's still really powerful sound coming from her. So I think that's why I like it so much.
Some of the lyrics too, gonna cut him through and through. An ambulance is waiting, Undertaker too.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa, you go,
pretty
girl.
Gruesome.
Yeah, pretty good stuff there. It's like no one's gonna mess with her or you if you sing that song. She was a classic. For those that are listening that aren't familiar with Bessie Smith, be sure to check her out. That's Bessie S-S-I-E, Smith Traditional. She was signed to OK Records, and we're going to give you a little taste of Bessie, and then we're going to give you a whole lot of Allie. This is Hateful Blues, new music, one of the cuts you'll find on her new album, Heart of Fire. Hateful Blues, old Bessie Smith, taking you back to around 1923, 1924, with the beginning of that track. And, of course, bringing it up to speed, 2021 style, with my guest, Allie Venable, great Texas singer-songwriter and recording artist who's coming to Gary, Indiana. She'll be at the Hard Rock Cafe stage at the Hard Rock Casino, Northern Indiana, at 29th and Burr Street in Gary on October 29th. Allie is with us on the phone as we feature music from her new album. And Allie, I've got to wonder, since this came out during the recent COVID situation when nobody was touring, are you focusing on the music from this new album? You've got 11 tracks on it versus earlier stuff from the first three albums?
Yes, I play for our set. I play mostly the songs from the new album, and then I'll play a few, from my older releases. But actually, our album, the Heart of Fire album, was supposed to come out that summer of all the COVID stuff. But we decided to, hold back, of course, because there was no touring. Like, nobody could go out and play and, tour on the album. And finally, a year later, after we recorded it, I was like, we just need to put this thing out and, just see what happens. And, I don't know what's going to happen after we put it out, but I just want to release it and, see what happens, basically. And so that's what we did. And things look to be like they're picking back up now. We're on the road with Buddy and Kenny, and we're doing our own shows. And during the summer, we did kind of like one-off stuff and weekend stuff, but I think now everything is looking like it's getting better as far as like touring is going. Mm-hmm. And I feel like everybody's wanting to go out again and see music. Like, they miss it so much. So
right.
That's what I'm seeing on the road anyways.
With the album done and you not being on the road during the last year, what did you spend your time doing? Were you writing more material? Are you pretty prolific at this? Is that how you spent your time?
I did work on a few songs for like my next album, and I still am right now. But I tried to adapt to what was going on, and I feel like as a musician, you have to adapt anyway in this industry.
Right.
So I tried to do online streaming stuff. I did a kind of like a live show on my Facebook, and I called it Texas Honey Sundays. And every Sunday, I have made a lot of friends since I've been or musician friends since I've been in music. And I was like, well, they're not doing anything, so I might as well ask them to like hang out with me online and like talk to my fans and talk about their music and what inspires them. And so I did that during the pandemic.
Okay. So the new stuff that you're working on, is anything ready to debut on stage? Do you like to take the newer songs and work them live before you record them? Or are you one of those that record first and then let the song grow from there?
I usually let it record first. Okay. And then let it grow. There's been a few times where, like in the past, where the band has played a few songs on stage, like for fun before it's like released. And I'm right now I'm writing for my next album, but nothing is like fully ready to be introduced yet.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Sure thing.
Yeah.
Tell me, I know that we talked about how Stevie Ray was pretty influential on you as a guitar player, and now working with Steve Gaines, again, the combination, the chemistry you had, this album really jumps. It hits the mark, so to speak, as the Almonds might say. how did you tie in with Jim Gaines? And I'm sure that there must have been an awful lot of stories going on with Jim in the studio with you, and especially on the track that that Kenny did. Because as I remember when I interviewed Kenny, he was talking about seeing Stevie at a very early age in concert and getting to meet him, and that was one of the reasons he picked up the guitar. And here you tell us a similar story that you discovered him and started changing your sound. So what was it like to be in the studio with Jim and with Kenny to do Bring on the Pain, and how did the connection happen with Jim?
Yeah, it was an honor to get to work with him. He's such an awesome person, and he just made me and my band feel very welcome. Getting to work with him, his number one priority was to make sure we all felt comfortable, which I thought was awesome. You know, he was cool with us using our gear that we used live on stage, and he could get these really great guitar sounds, and he could do these really cool like fade outs, which he's known for. How I got to work with him was through my label. Jim has had some tracks, some albums for Riff Records, and so that's how I got in contact with him. And we recorded in Tennessee with my band, and it was just an awesome time. He shared so many cool stories of him working with other artists, mm-hmm. and a lot of Carlos Santana stories, which are pretty cool. And it was a really fun time getting to work with him. And then I'm talking about Kenny. I met Kenny I did a festival with him. I opened one of the festivals that he's headlining in Nevada, and then made friends with him there, and seen him like a couple of more times after that. And he's been a great mentor, a great friend, a really, really, really big supporter of up and coming, artists and people in the blues genre. And I'm very grateful to have him as a friend, and it's really cool to have him on my album. You know, it's Kenny Wayne Shepherd, so he's not only my guitar hero, but it's cool to have him as a friend too.
Right, and of course he's on this new song, "Road to Nowhere." Did you guys actually get to record in studio together on this, or was this a situation where Jim put it all together from tapes?
He's on "Bring on the Pain."
Oh, I'm sorry. I said "Road to Nowhere." That was Devin. Yeah, "Bring on
Devin,
the Pain."
Yes, Devin's on that one. No, this was still during. He did his part during the pandemic, so I think he was still living in California at the time, and I think he moved it to back to Tennessee. I think, he did his part like at his house, or he did it somewhere else and sent it over.
Now, you're on the road with him on some dates, too. You guys got those coming up in the very near future, right?
Yes. Our show starts with him on November the 5th, which I'm really, really, really excited about. Never, opened any shows for him, so I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. What was it like, as far as being a young artist, a couple albums under your belt, to suddenly go in the studio with Jim Gaines and know that he has worked with some of the greatest guitar players of the rock and blues era? I mean, and then you come in with your guitar and you say, "Hello, Mr. Gaines." how do you approach a guy like that, knowing you are a guitar player and he is going to evaluate and work with you and either make or break what you're doing? And obviously it worked, but what was it like to walk into the room and know that? What kind of trepidation or fear did you have?
Well, I looked at it like I was in good hands, because he had had so much life experience working with, you know, guitar players, and he knows what he's doing, obviously. So I looked at it that way, like he knew what he was doing. And also, again, he just made it feel so comfortable, like being in the studio with him. And I got to use my band too, so it was just that I played with on the road and four with, so I just felt very comfortable working with him. He's just a really great soul, so I loved it.
That said, have you introduced him to any of the new music you're writing at this point, and do you think that he'll be on board for the next album?
Jim?
Yeah, Jim.
Talking about Jim?
Yeah, Jim.
I'd love to do another album with him. He's great. I loved working with him, so that would be cool.
All right. Well, let's play another track. Let's do the one we were talking about with Kenny Wayne Shepherd, "Bring on the Pain." Again, this is new music from my special guest, Allie Venable, who will be on the 29th of this month, this weekend, Halloween weekend, at the Hard Rock Casino stage at the Hard Rock Casino, Northern Indiana. The pain. Texas meets Louisiana on that one. That is an incredible one. Kenny Wayne Shepherd doing lead on that. My guest is Allie Venable. This is her album, Heart of Fire. She's coming to the Hard Rock Casino stage in Gary, Indiana on Route 29 and Burr Street. And that's happening October 29th. Is there an opening act, Allie, on this, or is this all you at the Hard Rock?
I think it's just the all me. I don't think there's an opening act that I know of.
Okay. Now, you're out with Kenny after you finish up with Buddy Guy, so that's coming up real soon. Now, is he going to be sitting in with you on that song when you guys perform it live, or when you perform it live?
I don't know. That would be really cool, but I do not know.
Okay. And you're doing most, there's 11 tracks on here. You're doing most of the songs from this album on these dates to promote it, obviously. As you look back on the other albums, what are your thoughts? Are they cringeworthy, or are there things you think stand up to where you're at now?
I wouldn't say cringeworthy, but I do see, like, the growth, you know, from when I first started making music up until now. Like, I think... No, I've evolved as a songwriter and guitar player in my band, and I've learned how to be in the studio and what works, what doesn't work. So you can see the growth from my first album to now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One of the things that I thought was pretty powerful of you, for lack of a better word, confidence-wise, was on the last album, Texas Honey. You did Stevie Ray. You covered Love Struck Baby. That's like, wow. You know, how hard was that to decide to do that? Because obviously he was an influence, and people knew that he was an influence on you, and then to pay homage to him in that way, and knowing people were going to compare you lick to lick on some of that stuff. You pulled it off.
Thank you. Well, I knew I can't play just like Stevie. You could have the same setup as him, the same guitar, the same, you know, size strings, all the gear, play even the same licks, and you can get close to Stevie, but, you know, it's, you can't play just like Stevie. Nobody can, you know, it's him. So,
right.
I just did my own version of it, and I think it was actually Mike's idea. He's like, you know, you should do it. Do a Stevie song, and I wanted to do it too. So we put "Love Struck Baby," and it was really fun. It was really really fun to play and to learn. And so, okay. Decided to put that on there.
Now you do a little bit of his licks on tribute to SRV on this new album, and that's the longest track on here. It's a jam. Tell me about the creating of that song and. What inspired that, obviously? Why this was the right time to do that kind of song?
That's our version of, like, Lenny. And we had been doing that song for several years. And it's just evolved over time, playing it, you know, adding different parts in there. Just playing it for so long with the band. And I wanted to put it on this album because I got to work with Jim Gaines, and he did Stevie Ray Vaughan's In Step record, which had Riviera Paradise on it, and I thought it was going to be in the same realm as that, and it was a one take, and it was about the same length as Riviera Paradise, and it was cool to hear Jim's thoughts about the song. He said it was that same vibe as whenever he recorded that with Stevie, so I thought that was really cool and an honor to hear him say that, you know, about the song. And I just wanted to put it on there, and I feel like it resonated with a lot of people, and we usually close with that at the shows, and people really like it, and we love playing it, too, so that's why I wanted to put it on there.
Okay, well, we're going to close with that in just a moment. We got a couple minutes left. Is there anything we haven't talked about that you would like to?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. Other than playing this final song, there is one final question I have, and that is, you did a very unique treatment of Bill Withers' "Use Me." What prompted that? It's almost guitar. It is guitar free, I think. It's like a rhythm track, basic.
Yeah, we do that one live too, and I thought that would be kind of cool to put it on the album. And Elijah he put like congas on there or sounds because he had his pad, so he decided to put that on there to be fun. And I thought it turned out pretty cool. And
I did too.
Yeah, it's just something you can like groove to, and you know, we like to play that song live as well. It's really fun.
All right, how long is the tour lasting? I'm looking ahead here. I see the Buddy shows, the Kenny shows, and you've also got, it looks like, a couple dates coming up with Kingfish.
Yes, we're going to be with Kingfish. I love Kingfish. I met him when I was about 13 or 14, I think. We did a festival together, and he's amazing. And so I'm looking forward to opening for him, too. And we're going to be back right before Thanksgiving, and then I do some guest shows with the Almond Best Band for the Almond Family Revival tour that they're doing. And, we'll be back in Texas right before Thanksgiving.
Wow. Any dates in Europe yet, or is it still too soon because of COVID?
They're working on our tour for next November over there.
Okay. And we can keep up with you on your site, which is AllieVenableBand.com. Is that correct? All the updates?
Yes. And then, everything's on there.
And then you're also on Facebook under your name, and you can interact with fans there.
Yes, Allie Venable Band on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and YouTube and Twitter and all that. So, yes.
being on the road, do you get much time to actually interact yourself on some of these sites with the fans?
Yes, I try to. I try to post on there and talk to everybody. And I have a Patreon, and I talk to everybody on there. And so I'm on the road. We like travel more than we play, so I try to look on all that stuff.
All right. Keeping the Texas Blues tradition alive and well in the spirit of Clarence Gatemouth Brown, T-Bone Walker, Johnny Winter, and, of course, Stevie Ray Vaughan. My guest tonight, Allie Venable. You can catch her on the 29th at the Gary Hard Rock Cafe at the casino. Again, it's at 29 and Burr Street. And stop on out and check her out and pick up this new album. I imagine you'll have merch with you. You'll be able to buy the album there.
Yes, I'll have my merch and I'll have vinyl and CD.
I have the vinyl in front of me, and I have the CD as well. So I will see you there probably.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. This is the tribute to SRV, and it's off of Heart of Fire. Allie has been my guest, and we appreciate her taking the time, calling in from the road. Check her out on Facebook, and check her out on her website, AllieVenableBand.com. Leaving you with this one. Adios, everybody.